scripture, the New Testament scripture, the sheep and the shepherd. Interesting choice, and that was the lectionary. I don't know that I would have turned away from it given the conjunction with Mother's Day, but shepherding, we don't really think about it as much in modern terminology, but women were shepherdesses too. We don't hear about that. We don't hear about the women doing the shepherding. We'll hear about children sometime and young people, but women weren't mentioned. We know that. Women were kind of just not noticed in that time and that age, but women would have been doing those jobs as well, and it would be a shock for mothers to hear that there is a day dedicated to mothers. It would be a shock for women of that age to realize how important women are in our society and how much a part of us. They're preachers and teachers and bishops and vice presidents and all of the equality that comes with that and all of the change of society that comes with including women. But here we have the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And that image is an important one. We've reflected on that some in a set of parables where we reflected on how if one of us is lost, 100 of us gathered, 100 of us faithful, but one lost, Jesus will go and find that lost one. When we are lost, the Good Shepherd will come and find us. The Good Shepherd knows us and will return us. We know his voice. My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. We need to hear that and understand that and reflect and celebrate on being members of God's flock. I don't know if there's a plural for flock. I guess flock is the plural, but wouldn't we like to become flockites or flockies? I guess it's probably not going to catch on, but there it says for you. I loved John's revelation. The revelation of John was almost not included in the Bible. The scholars, when they were addressing sacred texts, said the majority of people will misunderstand this text. They'll see it as a roadmap, as a secret clue system for deciphering heaven and the future, and that's not what it is. It's apocalyptic literature. It's symbolic literature. But it was included because of the vibrant imagery. And that's true here as well as we hear this imagery. The metaphor changes. John doesn't call them sheep. He calls them the great multitude is gathered. Who are they? His host asks him. He sees the great multitude. Who are they? He's questioned. Have you ever been hit with a pop quiz, especially an oral one, and the teacher pops out a question and you're just blind in the headlights? No idea what. That's happened a few times and I still have nightmares in remembrance. Don't we all? I love John's response. Well, sir, you know. You, who are these that are robed in white, and where have they come from? Sir, you are the one that knows. And he turns the question around. I don't have a clue, is what he's really reflecting, but it's an important point to reflect on how he's turned that around. But he turns it back to his speaker. These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It's a startling imagery, and the imagery of blood and washing and cleansing is one that isn't quite as popular today. But that cleansing is an important part. And what is even more important is that there is a great multitude. There was a great multitude that no one could count. That's quite a few. How many? That's a lot. Hooray, it's an unaccountable number. The number that are a part of this flock with us, these brothers and sisters in the midst of the journey. Sometimes don't we feel alone? And in our modern culture, the system seems to be pushing us to be more and more individualized. Every person you see, you can figure out something that you're going to disagree about with every one of them. And people are capitalizing on that. And people are pushing us and shoving us. And the younger generation, we were commenting in our gathering before church, where none of us would like to be teenagers today. None of us would like to be teenagers. We remember those days, and we remember, actually, with rose-tinted glasses, I'm afraid, because we all had our issues and struggles and things, but today there are so many other issues and so many other things, and so much peer pressure and phones and TikToking and photos and likes, and I would not want to be a teenager today. But we can pause and we can gather with others that we have like mind. Others for whom we are together. We are the multitude, the great multitude gathered together, an unaccountable number. We are not alone. What's interesting too, it continues. They are from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. That's quite a few. And that helps us pause and reflect on one of the places where we tend to fall down. We image everything from our North American perspective. We were in the grocery store, Melissa and I. Somehow we keep doing that. You know, I don't know, it's a routine or something. We just can't get out of the habit of going to the store. That was a joke. Yeah, it wasn't a very good joke, was it? Never mind. Woman is coming down the cart toward us. She had a cart, and she had one in the seat in the cart, a smallish one. Another one walking beside, and they're shopping. And I love listening to different languages, and so I'm listening to her talking to her kids. And I thought, all right, it's not Spanish. I know enough Spanish that it's not Spanish. And it wasn't Tongan. I'm getting used to hearing Paya. And Paya and Siociana were in the office this week, and they were off on Tongan business. I don't know what was going on, but I can hear Tongan and Pacific Islander. By the way, it's Pacific Islander month, so make sure and hug a Tongan. And, you know, we continue to celebrate that. But it wasn't Tongan. It wasn't Spanish. It didn't sound Russian. It wasn't Japanese. I've heard a little bit of Japanese. And in fact, my dad used to speak some Japanese, especially when he was mad and didn't want us kids to hear what he was thinking. But I couldn't recognize the language. And I looked at them and I thought, they don't ethnically look any different. But I just had to grin to myself. This is part of that great multitude. This is part of that wide swath of humanity that are brothers and sisters together. From every nation, from all tribes and people and languages. Amen. Diversity is a good thing. God created that diversity and we can celebrate it. But here John is looking at these, that they are the ones who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have lived on this earth. You remember way back there was the couple, this young couple, Adam and what was his wife's name? Eve, yes, that's what it was. And they got kicked out of the garden. Well, we're still kicked out. We aren't back in there. And so life is not a rose garden, although I've always hated that metaphor, but life is full of sunshine and rain, heat and cold, fire and ice, politics, oh Lord, don't get started there, cliques, religious denominations, divisions. It's easy to find the differences. And besides all else, there is war and sometimes peace. But this is the world that we're in the midst of, and that great ordeal is what we're in. All of us are in the midst of and enduring that. It's our journey. And some of us might grouse around a little bit, but we need to reflect that it was Jesus' journey as well. Jesus had to make a difficult journey, even a more difficult journey than us. And he made that walk, and he showed us that it is possible. Have you noticed that life is filled with temptations? I don't know if they're becoming fewer or I'm just becoming more sedentary and isolated, but they aren't quite as bad as they used to be when I was younger. But they're still there and they're still waiting for me when I am not paying attention. I might be a little bit forearmed by knowing how I am tempted. Do you know what tempts you? Dad and I had a conversation about this decades ago. My dad, he's a saint, and he raised me and he taught me integrity. And we were discussing that, and I thought, I don't know if my dad has any temptations at all. I just couldn't ever perceive them. But he said, money. He says, I grew up in a time when we didn't have any money or anything. And he said, and then I remembered those times that we'd be driving in the car and there'd be a gas station and we'd be short on fuel, but he'd say, well, let's go on. The next station is 2 cents cheaper. And we'd all sweat and hold our breath, hoping that we made it to the next gas station. He was tempted by money and the ease that it gives, and he recognized that. What are our temptations and how have we handled those? Not only that, but what are our biases? Our temptation to be in charge, to judge, to become the ones that... I live near a school, and along one side of my property there's a set of signs that say, no parking anytime. And when school's getting out, that's full of cars parked there waiting for kids. And the school buses come, and every day the school buses have to honk to get people to get in their cars and close their doors so that they can drive the school buses down the road there. And a part of me wants to get out there and start handing out traffic tickets. Doggone it, they're not supposed to be parking here, and lawful. And I pause and remember who I am and who I'm not, and look at these young parents that are just taking care of their kids. I refer to the Reverend Daniel Moore, an Episcopal rector that I read. I want to read a quote from him. Recall to mind all the ways that human beings have sought the blood of our neighbors. The history of calling for blood and turning others into scapegoats. The well of this history is so deep that we cannot even begin to plumb its depths. The countless throngs of people in John's vision suffered because of their neighbors demanding it. Because their neighbors had called for blood. And the reason that these people are holy is because they did not call for it back. They knew that life offered by the blood of Jesus will never be found in the blood of another person. They knew that the only blood of Jesus will wash us clean and make us able to love our neighbors so that we can be holy, so that we can be human. Who are these? They are the ones who have washed their cloaks in the blood of the Lamb. So our journey in Christ is to do the same. None of us is perfect and none of us is going to escape. Sometimes those temptations will sneak up and get us. Sometimes other things will happen and we will judge or demean others. But sometimes we'll remember and follow and atone through Jesus, and have our robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. So today is Mother's Day, and we celebrate all of those mothers, and especially those who have taught us all those important lessons about compassion and patience and loving and care and acceptance. And that important one, to love one another. Love one another. Those who we have followed, those who have followed Christ and led us, and we celebrate them. Happy Mother's Day. Amen.